John Fortnite Kennedy.
I don't have a response to that. I mean, Danganronpa's kind of like a battle royale.
Yeah, attention all Danganronpa gamers. Makoto Naegi is in great danger and needs your help to wipe all the Monokuma bots in the halls of Hope's Peak High. But to do this, he needs a gold scar and a couple of chug jugs. To help him, all he needs is your credit card number, the 3 digits on the back, and the expiration month and year. But you gotta be quick so that Makoto Naegi can capture the mastermind and achieve the epic victory royale.
Wow.
Great.
Yeah. What if the mastermind is the stork that Makoto fucking beat the shit out of when he was in grade school?
Really?
I'm legitimately really afraid that like all these jokes are going to come to a head and it is going to be a bird.
All the jokes are just real?
That would mean Kyoko is related to a bird. How would that work? Is she some kind of bird-human hybrid?
Wait, what?
We'll get into
hold on. What do you mean Kyoko is related to a bird? Where did this come from? I'm scared.
If the headmaster is a bird, she tells us at the end when we're in the garbage pit that the headmaster / mastermind, I think, is her dad.
Is the headmaster?
That's why
mastermind?
She came to the school.
We don't exactly know, do we?
Because wasn't it said earlier in the game that the only people alive are, like, the only people alive in the school are the students?
Oh, wait, actually, I misremembered.
Yeah,
her father
you,
is the headmaster and not the mastermind.
Yeah, fuck you, Inez.
Anyway, we've gone really long without, like,
letting me do any of
the important podcast stuff.
All right, welcome to Ultimate Fair Reprise, where nothing really points don't matter.
This is my show.
My show now.
My city now.
Welcome everybody to Ultimate.
I'm Inez. Welcome to Ultra Despair Reprise. It's my show now.
I'm gonna wrestle this show like a bird away from you.
I ate all the other hosts and now I'm the mega host.
Oh god, let's not make this the Vore podcast. I'm usually pretty liberal when it comes to kinks. I don't want this to be the Vore podcast. I really don't want this to be the Vore podcast.
It wasn't supposed to be a Vore thing.
You're banished from the cast for making it a Vore thing.
Me neither.
Good, great.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to Ultimate Despair Reprise, a Danganronpa recap podcast going through the Danganronpa series one murder at a time. I am your ultimate host, Kyrie.
I'm Jackie. I am doing the recap for today. All right, yeah, that was us.
I'm
just nobody else want to open the goddamn mouth.
I'm Jennifer, and I'm the ultimate fangirl.
I'm Inez.
No, you're not.
And I continue to be the ultimate in awkward pauses.
And today we are covering the investigation and trial of Chapter 5 of Danganronpa 1, Trigger Happy Havoc. This was a bit of a wild chapter, to say the least.
Yeah, it got absolutely buck.
Yeah.
Didn't seem so happy to me.
And to recap, as you said earlier, to recap the chapter is Jackie. Jackie, hit us with the recap.
All right, the cool podcaster is talking now, so everybody shut the hell up. Again, you are the uncool. You are like the least cool person on this podcast, Inez. Fuck off.
That's
so
mean.
starting from the last. Starting from where we left off last podcast episode, we have the Mukuro corpse in the weed room, and Aoi IDs it as belonging to a woman, so it's kind of heavily implied to be either Mukuro or Kyoko. Toko goes to fondle it and gets blown the fuck up, but she's okay because she abides by cartoon physics. So we splash some water on it. Makoto specifically emphasizes that he goes hard. It's water, dude. Chill.
We briefly are led to believe that it's Kyoko, but again, you know, if that gets dispelled later in the chapter. And we get our first set of clues. That's a key, a tattoo, and some fake nails. We see the security room because, you know, that's what the key led to. And, you know, we see that it was in a sequence that is actually kind of legitimately unnerving. We see that this connects to everything and that it's being broadcasted out to the entire world. Which means that that CG sequence that we saw last episode where it was Makoto cranking his hog, well, the entire world saw him tugging his tube. So he's got to make peace with that, like, real quickly. We get a new track, Box 16, which is a fucking banger. I'm very, like, if nothing else, the music in this game whips. We get more clues in the form of a tarp, a bomb fragment, Crocodile Dundee knife, and a missing chicken. Of which there previously were 5, no more, no less. Now there are less. And Byakuya tells us that, you know, everybody but us and Kyoko has an alibi. I tell him to suck my dick and also balls. We figure out the time we found the corpse at, which was 9 a.m., because we have to kind of cross-reference everybody with the sprinklers and how the sprinklers turn on at 7:30 and how the corpse prior to that would have been drenched. And Byakuya tells us that we need a permission slip to check Kyoko's room, but he's okay with chaperoning us. And so he chaperones us to Kyoko's room. And there's a key for a locker in the dojo that we find through very cryptic Akasa Yoko clues, because, you know, Kyoko is just fucking with us as points. We find all the data on Mugro Kusaba, including her 3 sizes. Kyoko has weird fucked up hands, as it turns out, so she wouldn't be wearing the like fake nails because, you know, her hands are covered in scars, and that's why she wears the gloves. We get some other clues in the form of titanium arrows and some bloody duct tape. Yeah, why not? We look into Fenrir, which is the organization implicated by the tattoo with Byakuya. Makoto doesn't know French. Byakuya, being illiterate, tells us to sound out the words for him, and we say "Casse toi, you bitch motherfucker," and he realizes that means that Fenrir did 9/11. Mukuro Ikusaba and Byakuya Togami definitely did war crimes. They are both war criminals. And you know, we see Kyoko. She's when we find all the clues and whatnot, and we get called for the trial. Kyoko comes with us. She keeps us waiting for a little bit, and then she basically turns to us and says, "Dog, I'm about to do something shady. Don't fuck me on this." And then it's trial time. Hagakure dipshits about with like gloves and fake nails, and we kind of clock him on that. Which we used. I mean, we clock the body by the tattoo very specifically. We get a little one of the Hangman's Gambit thing where we have to spell I cup. And we kick Toko's ass. There's some tarp shenanigans. We have to prove something with the chicken blood, etc., etc. It's a very, you know, roundabout process. And then we get to choose whether we call Kyoko out or allow ourselves to get voted as a blacken. Which I feel if there weren't sequels to this, I guess if the ending wasn't, I guess if there wasn't a guarantee that there was going to be more going on, this would be a very difficult choice. The bad end is if you let Kyoko be pointed out as the black end.
If you call her out, basically.
Yeah, if you call her out on her life, because she has a device that unlocks any room in the in the school, and she says something about being unable to access her own room in her defense. And if you call her on the fact that, oh well, actually you could access your own room because you have a master key, she gets voted as the blackened, and we see her get executed. And then we get a bad end where Toko dies and we all have kids with Aoi, and oh god, it's horrible.
It's very upsetting.
I don't think anybody who has done art for this game has ever seen a baby.
Oh, just you wait.
Oh my god.
I'm very excited. So the actual real way to do it is you have to get a fission mailed. and alter ego hacks the execution machine, so you fall harmlessly down a garbage chute, and Kyoko follows us, and she falls into a pile of cup noodles, and she has cup noodles on her head, which explains all the weird cosplay pics that I've been seeing of her. And there we go. We get a butt plug for completing this chapter. They say it's a rocket, but I don't believe them.
So, yeah, okay. Like, at the top, it is, gosh, you just go to the body and Toko just abides by Wile E. Coyote physics because she gets blown the fuck up.
Yeah, they straight up show her, like, the picture that they use for that, the illustration very clearly shows her flying, like, a few hundred feet.
Yeah, if, like, fucking MatPat had access to that photo, he would say something about how Toko is, like, a ghost or something, or Toko is Sans, because she clearly died at that moment or
something. Wait, are you telling me Toko isn't Sans? Oh, fuck me, my theories have been completely shot. Cancel the podcast. I need to re-theorize everything. Oh, fuck me, God.
Yeah. I do like that after the detonation, you see the CG and Makoto just repeats, it blew up, it blew up, it blew up, over and over. Which is kind of a fun little detail. But yeah, a lot of this is like, the whole case is designed to like feel off and weird, because the first time we see the body, like, Monokuma isn't really bothering us, like, at all.
Yeah. Well, he's been kind of out and about, right? Like, he's been kind of deactivated. Yeah, like, like, debatably conscious for a certain point.
Yeah, like, at least one of the Monokuma robots has been, like, disabled for, like, a day and a half before Monokuma comes back. And when they do come back, like, they're kind of erratic.
Yeah, like, it starts with, like, Monokuma starts with, like, you know, like, a couple of jokes. Like when the kids find themselves in the security room, you know, they are having a conversation about Monokuma, and then Monokuma just kind of casually joins the conversation and nobody notices for a few lines. But then after that, like, Monokuma just acts weirdly. So, it is, like, you'd think he would be, like, for example, madder that they were able to get into the security room and figure out, like, probably the biggest detail so far is that the killing game has been broadcast to the entire world so far.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, and as I saw, you made a couple of notes about that.
Oh, one of the things I noticed is that the data center room also has a surveillance camera, which kind of suggests that the data center isn't, like, exactly what it seems.
I thought that was because all of the cameras were being broadcasted around the entire world.
Well, that too, so but also, like, it suggests that whoever was spending time in the data center was as much a prisoner in the school as any of the other students.
Either that or they're the host.
Why would they be locked in with everyone else?
I mean, like, if you're a performer, even if the other people, like, you would step on stage about it. I don't think that they're, I don't think they're locked in so much as they are, staying there.
They're hosting the program, is what you're saying.
Yeah, they're hosting the program. They're, like,
there and, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there's also that. There's also that Monokuma pattern door near the back that no one can get into.
Yeah. So that kind of makes. Yeah, I mean, it kind of makes sense. Like it's like from that angle, I'm looking at it. I mean, I guess it also makes sense with like what you're suggesting that the host is that the individual in question who has control over Monokuma is a pawn as well. I think time will tell who is correct about that. At the same time, I think I'm sticking with my theory. I think I prefer what I'm getting at, because
fair enough.
Yeah,
I like my odds better.
If nothing else, they do definitely mention that, like Monokuma is subject to the same rules as everybody else.
That's a point in Ez's favor.
But the entire trial happens because they can't directly break the rules.
Yeah. But also, I feel like at that point, it might not necessarily be that the person playing Monokuma can't break the rules so much as physically, so much as it is that they ideologically can't.
Mm-hmm.
As we kind of saw that the trial was a sham, either way. So that does break that does kind of already break the rules. If there's no murderer, then why hold the trial?
Yeah, not to mention how, regardless of who gets picked in that situation, it's either Kyoko or Makoto getting sent into that execution, and neither of them are going free. So it's clearly rigged from the very start. And that also comes into play, like, how little information Monokuma gives in the file. Like, he doesn't mention who it was. He gives very vague details about the condition of the body, aside from the fact that it had injuries several days before, and things like that.
Yeah, also, like the way the trial goes, like either Kyoko or Makoto could get like accused, and either way the mastermind kind of wins.
Yeah,
because both Kyoto and Makoto have been like kind of the big sleuths so far.
Yeah,
like, they've kind of been the ones who have cracked every case.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Kyoko and Makoto have been the thorns in the mastermind's side. So
this is like kind of an op to get rid of them both, but neither of them actually did it. So I kind of don't know where I'm going with that.
It's okay. It's just I know that like I. One of the lines that sticks out to me is you have a very after. The when you get through to the true ending, which we'll get to the weird bad ending in a sec, but when you go through the true ending and it shows Makoto being executed and all the kids being like, no, wait a second, this makes no sense, Monokuma goes, it makes perfect sense. Like, he's screaming this, like
Kyoko points out, like in the same way that somebody who's, you know, in the same way that, like, previously when somebody has been cornered and have said, like, the opposite, like, oh, you can't accuse me, that it doesn't add up, you know, Monokuma kind of is taking the same sort of tone about it. Like, yeah, it's perfect sense, shut up.
Yeah.
Don't question it.
Yeah, it's also a thing that kind of happens throughout the case, is that, like, you can very clearly notice Monokuma, like, egging you on in the direction that he wants. Like, he tells you a few things and they like all naturally point towards Kyoko as being the killer.
Mm-hmm.
Even though that at a certain point you realize like that doesn't make any sense. Like,
yeah, like Monokuma being so willing to try and hand over the correct answer to a trial is pretty out of character at this point.
Yeah, he even planted evidence, like the key to the locker. Like, as soon as someone mentions that, Kyoko's face practically turns white because the situation is like, wait, what was in there? And it's like, oh, I see what's going on here.
Yeah, also, I really like how in the trial, like, it's made kind of explicit that Kyoko doesn't... She doesn't know all the things that you do.
Yeah, because she's been off doing, like, something else.
Yeah, she's been off on the second floor of the dorms, which she says don't have monitors and they don't have cameras.
Yeah.
I
do like she gets kind of like thrown off. Like, you can tell that she gets like kind of thrown off during this case, because she actually starts like putting the pressure on Makoto at a certain point when it's starting to look like Kyoko is going to be the blackened.
Mm-hmm. And there's that nice moment of Makoto feeling slightly betrayed and scared by this, because it's like, wait, why are you doing this to me? Why now? And of course, Kyoko apologizes about it later, but it's still kind of a frightening moment when your best friend in this place so far is suddenly being like, oh yeah, he totally did it.
Yep.
Yeah, it's like, one of the key things that she says, like you mentioned in the recap, she says, like, hey, I'm about to see something shady, don't fuck me on this. You know, it's like, she's trying to figure this out as much as you are. And you can tell that either A, she's trying to stall the case so that she can, like, maybe puzzle out what's going on, and she realizes that by pinning it on Makoto, like, they could buy more time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And she gets Makoto to go along ultimately by being like, if I die here, then this case will never be solved.
Right. Although, like, I don't know about you, but the first time I played through the game, I got the bad ending by total accident. Because, so, one of the moments in it, it's later in the, it's like, it's the final choice of the case, in which Makoto is like, well, do I sell Kyoko out? Because Kyoko makes a point in saying, oh, there's no way I could get into my room. But she has that, like, skeleton key, right?
Yeah, it's ultimately a question of, do you think Kyoko is trustworthy enough where you're willing to put your life on the line? So it kind of makes sense to be like, no. But also, especially, like, I let it go, because listen, I would die for Hikasu Yoko. Fucking
listen. Yeah, she kind of tells you, like,
that's Maria Kanazawa, like, and Eve you're talking about. I'd take a bullet for her any day. Twice on Sundays.
Well, in this case, yeah, you, like, take a stomping.
She kind of tells you in, like, the run up to the trial that well, she's going to tell a lie. Like the exact words that she says are, right now I just want to focus on surviving our current situation, because this is probably the single most crucial moment so far for me.
I guess, like, initially when I was playing this a couple of years ago, like, I remembered that, like, one of the earlier things that, like, Kirigiri talks about is pursuing the truth, no matter how ugly it might be. And I had thought, like, oh, we have an ugly truth that we need to deal with.
Wait.
Because if we don't...
Kyoko says, pursue the truth no matter how ugly it may be.
and so she lies, and then you fuck her on it. She's like, wait, no, not that way. No, not like that, Makoto.
No, not like Makoto. I need you to
Oh man, I knew this guy was stupid. Why did I put him in a position of responsibility?
Oh, I thought he was a bottom, but I guess not.
Is it not the most bottom bitch thing on the planet to, when presented, like, when told to do something, doing it without question as to whether or not you should, like, you know, actually do it?
I guess, like, that's a good point.
Because that's the thing, is, like, it's extremely bottom. It's extremely bottom for Makoto to be like, oh, yeah, you know, should we, I mean, listen, Kyoko said... She said pursue the truth at all costs. Alright. I don't know. It seems shady, but like, shit. I'll do it.
Yeah, I don't know what I was thinking. And
it's because you're bottom, Jack. It's because you're fucking bottom, Kiri.
Did you almost say your own name?
No. I did not. It
kind of sounded like you did.
No, it
didn't. Roll the tapes back, please.
Do not roll the tapes back.
Oh my god, are you going to make me do this again?
No, the exact opposite of that. I'm going to make you skip this entire sequence. At gunpoint, don't test me.
Hey everyone, it's me, Kyrie, again. Thank you for listening to the official episode 10 of Ultimate Despair Reprise. I know technically we have more than 10 episodes at this point. Again, we have the interview episodes, we have the special episode, but it's so good to be in double digits. We've been working at this for a really long time, and we really appreciate your support in all of this, and I am just flabbergasted and thankful. So thank you for supporting us all the way through and listening and retweeting us. It's been absolutely a pleasure. Anyway, let's do the shoutouts. This podcast is part of Scanline Media. Go to scanlinemedia.com for more podcasts, articles, and much, much more. We got shows like the Johto Quorum, Neutral Game, Bottle Crow, and so many others. And if you're a subscriber to us on Patreon, you get access to over 70 episodes of Oops All Anime. Hell, I'm even on some of those episodes if you're so inclined. And all you need is $1 a month, and you get access to loads and loads of great episodes, and just, it would definitely help us out. You know, just $1 is all it takes. Go to patreon.com/scanlinemedia for more information on that. Thank you, as always, to Vetrom for providing the music for the show. Check them out on YouTube at youtube.com/VTMprojects. They got remixes from Danganronpa, My Hero Academia, Pokemon, and so much more. Heck, as I am recording this today, they posted a brand new remix for Danganronpa. They're a really hard worker, and I really appreciate them letting us use the music. It's so good. Anyway, so we are approaching the end game of Danganronpa 1, and I want to hear from you. Yes, you, the one listening to this right now. Even if you listen to this in the future, and, you know, it's after the episodes have come out. I don't care. We want to hear from you. Shoot us an email at despaircast@gmail.com. I want to hear your thoughts, comments, burning questions. We're going to do a special, you know, kind of mailbag, you know, debrief episode after we finish season one of this game, because we're almost done. We're in chapter six. You can also tweet at us at YouDespairCast on Twitter. So the next episode is going to be a doozy. So your homework is simply to do the investigation of chapter six. No time for hanging out. It just goes straight into deadly life. So you're going to play the game all the way to the point you get to the pre-trial prep screen, you know, where you set your skills and all that. Play until there. It'll give you a save point. Play until there. And that is where we're stopping for next week. Chapter 6 is going to be wild, and I'm really excited to get to it. Anyway, that's all from me. I'll talk to you later. Peace.
Okay, so anyway, can we talk about how the courtroom this time is like,
oh god, it's clown vomit.
In clown vomit.
It's fucking, yeah. Cosmo and Wanda from the Fairly Odd Parents turn into a fucking courtroom.
It's like green and purple tiles with like bright pink curtains and like fucking Super Mario pipes.
It looks like it's missing textures.
It's almost like they're trying to suggest through the visual motif that this is a kangaroo court.
I mean, it's always been kangaroo court, though. Do you think Monokuma abides by any actual legal process? Do you think this fucking bear has a law degree?
You got a point.
Do you think Monokuma passed
this
fucking bar?
Do you think this fucking bear is actually a bear?
Yes.
No, look
at him. He's a bear.
He's a kangaroo,
bear?
Fucker.
Yes.
Kangaroo.
Have you ever seen
kangaroo?
A bear? He's what?
He says that why would a bear pretend to be dead? You're the ones who should pretend to be dead when you see a bear.
Monokuma's all about that bear safety. Mm-hmm. If you're out taking a hike in the wilderness, heed Monokuma's instructions and don't get mauled by a bear.
Yeah.
Yeah, this court case is a bit of an eyesore, which is kind of a shame, because you're staring at it for, like, a few hours. But,
I mean, it's hideous, but it's very funny to me. Like, wow, God, this is so bad. Like, it plays into the whole... I mean, as you said earlier, it's a kangaroo court. It very much plays into that surreal, like, oh, this is fucking clown shoes feeling, but also, like, it's also an extremely goofy-ass, like, it's kind of Monokuma's whole deal breaking down and being incredibly dumb. Like,
yeah.
Because he's kind of getting played for the fool this entire chapter. Like, culminating in, literally, he tries to execute somebody and the tried and true method fails. Because of something that he didn't even, anticipate at all.
Right. Because Alter Ego comes in and she comes in to save the day.
Yeah, she does it. Alter Ego does the thing.
Mm-hmm. She does. Like, it's so interesting because if you contrast... It's very interesting how it leads you... If you did the bad end, you saw an execution. And they execute Kyoko, and they very much, like... When I played it initially... I was thinking when the execution happened, I was like, did I fuck up, or is this how the story is supposed to go? And then, of course, like, you get the very silly Shinji where Toko is dead. And
Toko dies, and you all bang the shit out of Aoi.
And Byaki is just standing there smiling with the dead Toko portrait.
Oh my fucking god.
He's like,
and
finally.
And they've just been wearing the same clothes for the past how fucking long?
Yeah,
we already know that Matt Makoto doesn't change his clothes.
But it's distressing to see Makoto, like, slightly aged up, so he's like this, he has this dad belly, even though he's still very much a teen slash young
adult. He's like 17 years old with a dad bod.
Yeah.
I mean, these kids look like
Dilf, right? Dude, you're not even drinking age yet. How'd you get a beer gut?
Well, I mean, Hagakure clearly is.
Yeah, Hagakure is like 40 though. He's like actually canonically 40. He's been in fucking Danganronpa for so fucking long. He has a beard, styles his dreadlocks every morning. Man,
Hagakure is a 30-year-old boomer. I will not be taking further comments at this time.
Anyway, you do the bad ending and you get the full execution and you see how bad things can get. You can see how horrible things get. And then it's bad. And then you get to Makoto's execution, which at this point is like it's beat for beat the same thing.
And wait, does that mean Alter Ego didn't like Kyoko enough to hack into the system? Oh no!
Alter Ego,
it's just her. Don't worry about it. Well,
Alter Ego has a bone to pick with Kyoko.
I would fucking misgender me. I'll show you. I'll show you, you piece of shit. I hold the reins now.
See, in my mind, it was only because Makoto is the ultimate lucky student, so of course he gets saved at the last minute, but I like that explanation a whole lot more.
Actually a guy, I'll show you. You fucking pull that lazy ass trope on me, make you flat like a pancake. Also, this is how Alter Ego talks now. She talks like a fucking Italian like, mob boss. Yeah, see, that's Chicago, I think, right? Like, I'm
maybe.
I don't know. I'm
close enough.
Yeah,
it's about right. And that's what matters.
Frankie's for some deep dish pizza. Some authentic Italian Chicago deep dish pizza.
This is a great bit. Keep it coming.
As a matter of fact.
Oh no!
Okay, everyone, we might be here for a while, so
okay. Well,
just
we need to pivot.
Just hope you're comfortable in your chair.
Well, I'm gonna try and pivot it really, really hard.
Hey, because what's Bob Boss's favorite letter?
Can we talk about how the murder weapon is supposed to be like? Is supposed to be like a bunch of
like a
metal
bunch of
arrows
that you just duct tape
together.
I love to extremely effectively murder somebody by wrapping a bunch of arrows in duct tape.
I do kind
of
like
and then disposing that of the duct tape where I put the arrows. That's good.
I do like that like the supposed murder weapon in this like incredibly rigged trial is just the dumbest possible thing,
yeah. Like
you could come up with.
Like I'm not saying that you couldn't kill somebody with that method, but like there's
way
also
harder than just stabbing them. Like you
yeah
got the arrows right there already. The job is already half done by the time you.
Like even if they're blunted, you can always like I don't know find a rock some. Well, maybe not. Oh wait, there's rocks in that dojo. You could have sharpened it to like an edge. It would have been way easier. Or you
but
had
even
I don't know the
if
knife.
You fire them out of a bow, which is surely in the dojo. They're dead.
Like even a blunted arrow that would be for like archery practice or whatever. Even that would still, at the very least, like hurt a lot. Do that enough times and you
I mean
kill
no
somebody.
That shit like getting hit by a blunted arrow like that shit moves very quickly and it's not I mean it's blunt but it's not like cushioned or anything, it's still a metal tip. You hit somebody with that, it's going through them. You hit them in the head or the throat or anywhere that could actually like do damage, that's gonna do damage. Like it might be because like I was a I did a bit of archery when I was a kid.
Uh-huh.
You're gonna look at all the activities I took when I was a child and think I was some sort of swashbuckling rogue. instead of somebody with a 1,000 card Yu-Gi-Oh deck. but I yeah, but I did archery when I was a kid, and I used the blunted arrows, and them shits stick. Like them shits will get like deep into a like thick like foam target. Deep enough in there, like to the like poking out the other side. Like, yes, flesh is a different consistency, but at the same time, you know, that shit still go. That shit'll still like has to. I mean, that it'll punch through what it needs to punch through. It'll get there.
All this to say is that like the choice of murder weapon, quote unquote murder weapon, is like just very hastily put together. Like, you definitely get the sensation that this, like you said, like, this trial is a sham. And everything about it is a sham, including the evidence used to, like, you know, point the finger at Makoto or Kyoko. Although, leaning more towards Kyoko because of, like, the planted dojo key.
Yeah.
Also, can we talk about, like, some of the weird stuff on the body? Like, the body has, like, these big red fake nails, and, like, some of them have popped off, like, fake nails would, and also the corpse is wearing these, like, huge high-heel, like, fashion boots.
Oh, yeah, it's incredibly nonsense.
Like, it doesn't really make sense for Makuro, the ultimate soldier, be wearing this stuff. Like, it kind of makes me think that the body...
They might have, like, dug up Junko's corpse.
Could have been Junko, yeah. Like, we don't see, like, the body under the coat before it explodes, so...
Yeah, like, all you get to see are the fashionable boots, the nails, and the right hand, which has the Fenrir tattoo, which...
And...
Go ahead.
Also, like, Monokuma doesn't tell us who the body is. So, it could kind of be anyone.
What is your current theory as to like who the person is?
Junko, maybe? Because one of the things that pops up in the trial is that one of the chickens is missing, and there's like a blood stain on the corpse, but it was only like on the chest and none of it spilled onto the ground.
Hey, there was a note made about how the corpse was covered in old wounds.
Yeah.
Like, I think it was definitely like
that could be, that could fit either Junko or Makuro.
Well, wasn't Makuro's profile, didn't it say that she didn't get injured once as like the ultimate soldier? She was never harmed because she was just so good.
I assumed that she did get injured, but I suppose I could be wrong.
I could swear that's what it said. At the same time, I think if, oh God, I don't want to suggest that they're interchangeable, but like, Junkers and Mukuro, it could kind of be either of them. Like, if Junkers is dead, and somebody I'm not saying, like, maybe, like, if Mukuro is the, mastermind, or... and used Junkers' body and then just passed it off as herself, like, it could be something else. Like, it could be, like, or, the other way around, maybe? I don't know.
Since the corpse does have the tattoo on it, maybe it's Makuro disguised as Junko for some reason?
Wait, if it's Makuro disguised as Junko, and
Junko's, yeah, why would dead? Junko have have a tattoo
that's
on her
hand. That's the thing.
If
Mukuro disguised as Junko and Junko's dead, then that would... And it says that this individual is covered in old wounds. Does that mean that the Junko who got killed was Mukuro in disguise? Have I just predicted the end to the next chapter?
I guess we'll find out.
Yeah, regardless of whether you're right or wrong, we're not going to say either way. Because
okay,
yeah.
Because y'all are my choice. yeah, fuck y'all.
I think. Is there anything else we want to talk about, or can we move on to the big and pretty important conversation we have with Kyoko at the end of the chapter?
I think it's time to talk about the conversation
in
the trash void.
It's time to talk about Return to the Trash Void.
Yeah.
Trash Void round two, baby. Maybe we'll find Ifumi here. No?
Thank God.
Okay, so... So you're Makoto, and after the execution has just kind of failed, you wake up in this giant pit of trash.
Before that, you do have a flashback to the beginning of the game where you see Makoto standing in front of Hope's Peak, and they should basically play beat for beat like pieces of the opening, especially where Makoto wakes up in the classroom like he did at the beginning of the game. But then he wakes up in the trash void. We wake up and we spend like a day or two like in there getting completely like starved out. And then Kyoko shows up with cup noodles on her head.
Also, I like the line when she shows up, because Makoto goes, "Oh, it's just a giant piece of trash." And Kyoko, like, rising from the garbage like some kind of swamp monster,
like a fucking,
says,
some sort of cryptid.
"A giant piece of trash? Rude."
Yeah, it's a really cute piece of, like, just, she's great. Like, she loosens up a little bit, and that was like one that, is that the first joke she tells?
I think it is, yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, for the very first time, she tells like an actual joke, and she then, after shaking off the cup noodles like a dog would, she does, I do really like the bit where she says, you know, she basically apologizes to you because she realizes that she kind of hung you out to dry during the trial.
Yeah, it's one of those moments where I feel like a lot of Makoto and Kyoko's interactions or arcs together are going back and forth of one of them holding out something from the other, or one of them doing something without explaining themselves to the other, and usually leads to some hurt feelings, but then they're kind of like, no, this was my reason for doing it, but also it was kind of a dick move of me, so I'm sorry.
Yeah, this conversation is kind of special because it's like the first time where Kyoko, like, kind of like talks like straight to you.
Mm-hmm.
like she kind of stops to explain everything that she knows at that point.
Yeah
And you find out that she actually is the ultimate detective.
Hey, I was right.
Yeah. She explains that that like her memory was wiped, and she didn't remember that she was the ultimate detective. I guess, stop her from, like, investigating and remembering what she came here for.
Right. Like, she, out of all the, like, 16 students, she would absolutely be the one who would crack it wide open.
Also, She confirms to us that the headmaster is not the mastermind. Like, one of the points of evidence that she has for this is that the headmaster's office had been, like, ransacked by someone who clearly didn't know where to find what they were looking for.
Right. And, you know, if the headmaster was in fact the one who was in was in fact the mastermind, they wouldn't ransack their own office.
Yeah, also she talks about how she found plans that say that the second floor of the dorms is special and probably would have been where, like, the staff would have lived.
Yeah, and she also tells us that probably the biggest piece of information is that she doesn't think the ultimate despair is just one person. Like, originally the thinking was that Mukuro Ikusaba was the ultimate despair, but at that point, like, she's still like the ultimate soldier, and it didn't quite make sense until she figures out or theorizes that the ultimate despair is actually possibly a conglomerate of people.
Yeah.
And yeah, you're right. This is a moment in which she's actually like just straight with you, and even says like why she was even able to rescue you during Makoto's fever dream. Like, she sensed that like Makoto was in danger and stepped in to save him.
Not directly related to that, but she also mentions that the mastermind is they're getting backed into a corner, and the trial that we just saw was kind of them trying to break out of it unsuccessfully. Like, Kyoko earlier said that if she died during the trial, like the truth about the school and about the killing game would never come to light, and she was right.
Yeah, because
that was what the mastermind was out to do.
And as the bad end kind of points out, that, like, after she dies, like, nothing gets solved. Like, I know that, like, the bad end most likely just sort of took place in, like, Makoto's weird mind palace.
It explicitly does.
Yeah, I mean, it does, but also, like, that's more of a... It's not necessarily that, like... He's not necessarily off the mark. Like, it's not necessarily a thing where he's just like, oh, wow, wouldn't it be wacky? It's, like, kind of like a serious consideration of the consequences of what he's about to do. And I think it's very important that, like, after that, he just gives up. Like, there's nothing gets followed up on without our good friend.
Without Kyoko.
Kyoko Kirigiri. I forgot her name for a moment. What the fuck is wrong with me?
Also, I could be wrong, but it kind of looks like the picture was taken in the cafeteria of the school.
Oh, you're talking about the bad end picture?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it's like in front of those windows, like, the implication is that they would have just stayed there forever.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Absolutely, because, like, during the fever dream, like, Makoto mentions that, like, the objective wasn't to get out of Hope's Peak, but the objective was to stay in Hope's Peak. And the idea is that if Kyoko dies and the mystery of the school dies with her, like, they would just do what Monokuma has been, quote-unquote, trying to get them to do the entire time, which is to live a peaceful communal life in the school. And nobody else tries to murder each other. But yeah, no, this chapter is really good at setting up what we are about to go into. Because what we're about to go into is actually the last chapter of the game. Like, I looked ahead a little bit, and there is no social time. There's none of that. We just go straight into an investigation, like, for Chapter 6.
Yeah, though,
like,
I haven't played the chapter in a while, so I can't say this for certain, but I still think that splitting it into two might be a good idea, just because there's
going to be a... Yeah, that's something that we will talk about, and definitely by the time this comes out, I think we'll have figured out what the plan is, but, like, we're entering into the end game here.
I'm really excited to see what y'all think of the next chapter.
Yeah, it is going to be really, really exciting.
Sign-offs?
Yeah, it's sign-off.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right.
Well, everybody, thank you for joining us for episode 10, which, hey, by the way, there have been multiple episodes beyond double digits. But we're in double digits, baby.
Hell yeah. We've been running for a whole bunch of weeks now.
Yeah, we have.
Yeah, it's fucking exciting. It's a long-term project, baby.
But, like, I'm excited to, like, I'm just curious, actually, like, what are the big questions that, like, you want to have answered for the final chapter?
Well, I kind of brought it up previously, but there's still a bunch of unanswered questions about the corpse.
What I want to know is which among the survivors, who among the survivors is the best at Fortnite?
And I think Makoto. We could actually answer that right now. No, it's not Makoto.
How is it not Makoto?
Yeah, it's not.
Makoto says, like, the thing... Okay, hold on, I have an answer.
Makoto says that he is completely average.
At everything.
Yeah, Makoto is preternaturally average. He's gonna show, like, he is of the 6-7 survivors. How many survivors do we have? 6?
We have Kyoko, Makoto, Byakuya, Toko, Aoi, and Hagakure. So 6, yes.
6, okay. So of the 6, he's gonna come exactly...
I'm going to, my guess for that would be Hagakure.
He doesn't bathe, so that's a plus.
He flunked, like, 3 grades, probably because he was playing Fortnite.
But I thought he was a 30-year-old boomer and plays Quake 2 all day.
So that's actually a point, yeah, so that's the thing. So I don't know, I think he might be second. I think he might be second. Dead last is...
Who would be first, though?
Dead last, you know what?
Like, who would be first if not Hagakure? Like, we're talking about, like, relative skill of the group here. Oh, not, like,
what if it's beyond,
like, overall skill?
Here's the thing. I have some, so, compared to everyone. I'm 50-50 on this. I have a really I don't know if you're gonna like this. It's mm-hmm. It's either Byakuya or Kyoko.
I think Byakuya, because Kyoko doesn't have time for video games. She got crimes
to solve.
Kyoko
has no time to fuck. She had no time for Fortnite.
Yeah, meanwhile, Byakuya is the kind of person who would insist that he would not play anything. He would not play Commoner Trash like
Fortnite. At this juncture, Kyoko says, as she power rocks the zoo. Meanwhile, Byakuya does nothing but Fortnite because he's super rich. He's just able to vote stupid amount. He's been mentored by, like, fucking Ninja himself.
He has all the skins. Best.
He's like, bring me this ninja fellow. I'll have him.
Yes.
Now,
you mean I could skeet shoot commoners in the virtual world and then just keep doing it? They'll come back?
Amazing.
I don't even have to pay somebody off to make it look like their death was an accident? Oh my god, why haven't you told me about this Fortnite earlier?
This is easier than paramilitaries.
This is easier than doing war crimes on my own.
Also, since Kyoko doesn't have time to Fortnite, I'm imagining her now in that, of course I come fast, I got fish to catch hat.
What? No!
Whoever, of course I come fast, I've got noodles.
Well, good night.
If you draw Kyoko Kirigiri and of course I come fast, I've got X to Y. Put X and Y, whatever the fuck you want. I do not care. If you draw that, I will give you exactly one United States dollar.
Hey,
DM me your PayPal. Draw me the thing. DM me your PayPal, and we will all personally take from Bearcast funds, 25 cents apiece to give you one United States dollar.
I will actually. You know what? I will double down on that. If somebody does draw Kyoko with that kind of hat on, I will give them $2.
If you draw Kyoko with that hat on doing a Fortnite dance, I will give you $2.50 from the Despaircast coffers.
Your homework this time is to draw Kyoko Kirigiri, and then, of course, I come fast. I got fish to catch hat.
It doesn't necessarily say that she has fish. It doesn't necessarily have to say that she has fish to catch. It could be, oh, I got crooks to catch. I got problems to solve.
These are getting worse.
I got crimes to solve.
Okay. Of course,
I come fast. I got crimes to solve.
Jackie, that doesn't rhyme at all.
Oh my
It's not
God.
Supposed to rhyme, you
Fast
dumb putz.
It doesn't
either.
Have any kind of ring
dumb
to
putz.
It.
Dumb putz? Do you think of course I come fast, I have fish to catch as a specific je ne sais quoi that can't be replicated by another phrase? You fucking Shakespeare.
I hate you. I have been your ultimate host, Kyrie.
I don't know what the fuck I am anymore.
I'm the ultimate podcaster / fangirl / giggle monster, Jennifer Uncle.
I'm Inez, and I got some fish to catch. Bye.
Class dismissed, everybody.
Oh, God. Oh, I forgot. Yeah, the bonus item at the end of the chapter is, in fact, a boot plug.
A boot plug?
Is a boot plug.
That's how much French we know, Biakia.
I know Cassetois, and I know the boot plug.
I know Omelette du fromage.
Omelette du fromage.
Sacre bleu.
Sacre bleu. Cassetois. Ferme la bouche.
I'm gonna...
Ferme ta gueule.
Yeah.